Hej! Välkommen till Linnéakyrkans podcast. Vi hoppas att det här ordet ska uppmuntra dig, stärka dig i din tro och leda dig in i djupare relation med Jesus. Gud välsigne dig i ditt lyssnande.
Wow! Amazing! Great to be here. Thank you, Jacob. I'm so happy to be here today. It's a joy to come and see what God is doing here. It's amazing. The testimony is here. It's just amazing. God is doing something powerful in this place. We've known each other, Jacob, for many years. God sent me to Sweden as a missionary. I was praying, seeking the Lord. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was just believing God. And one day, a friend of mine invited me for a meeting. And I went in that meeting, and Jacob was hosting that meeting, you know, international pastors. He was preparing a meeting for Colin. And so I entered. He gave me food. He loved me. And then I went back. I never saw him again. And then I met him again in Kilalashika, yeah. And I'm sitting and he's preaching. He called me out and prophesied that I was going to, you know, God is going to use you in this country. And said a lot of good things. And then from there we began having coffee and fellowshipping. And in 2009, I was commissioned by him and the leadership in City Church to start an international congregation with 7 people. And the rest is history. So after planting City Church International, it's a place that gathers. It's a dynamic place, gathers internationals from 34 nationalities now. Yeah, 34 nationalities. And so we go to Uganda, started a mission center there, planted a church, City Church Kampala, which is transforming so many young people today. That church was planted in a very dark place, one of the largest and one of the most dangerous slums of Kampala. When we went there, the police couldn't go there. The police was afraid to go in that place. And so the guys in that place were using free electricity. No one could build them. And so that's where City Church Kampala was planted, in a very, very radical place. And today we see development. The government is planning to construct 2 roads there in that community. People are buying and building homes. You know, estates are coming in. And we have a police station there now. So we are seeing transformation taking place. The place that was known for prostitution, drugs, dangerous guys that were, you know, destroying lives of people in Kampala, is now known for transformation. Great things are happening. Yeah, great things are happening there. So it's an opportunity to come and share the word of the Lord with you today. Again, thank you for having me, Jacob, and the leadership here. Good to see you, Luvisa. So I'm sitting there and I'm having memories, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's very, 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 and it's, I think it's kingdom. I believe it's kingdom to build relationships and to keep them. To build relationships and to keep them. Ministry, the life of Jesus Christ here on earth is based on relationships. You know, building each other, taking care of each other, following up on each other, being my brother's keeper. So it's very, very, very important. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time. Anoint my lips of clay, Lord. Think through me, Lord. Bless my vocal cords as I share the word of the Lord with these, your precious people, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin with this, that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are of another world. We are in this world, but we come from another country. And as we are in this world, the Bible says that we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. He reconciled us back to the Father. And after reconciling us back to the Father, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. When he was here, he was pleading, calling men to be reconciled. And now when he passed on that ministry, he said he has given us the same ministry. And we are now in the place where Jesus was standing on this earth. That's where we are, calling people, pleading, calling them to be reconciled to the Father. So we are ambassadors, the Bible says, of Jesus Christ. We come from another country. We are not of this country. We are not of this world. We are of another world. So because we are ambassadors here, we represent another world. We represent a king, the King of Kings. We must constantly, for us to operate as ambassadors in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it says you shall receive power. And when that power comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria. But after the power has come upon you. So for us to stay walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be effective as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we must constantly recognize the world we come from and the world we represent. And we must constantly stay connected. So how do we now stay connected in that world as ambassadors? And that is why I want to talk about today, being able to keep your secret life with God in the secret place. And this is the place Jesus was teaching or talking about when he was teaching about prayer in Matthew 6, verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus is teaching about prayer and he says, but you, when you pray, you have to pray differently. Don't pray like others pray. Don't pray like religious people pray. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Your Father is in the secret place. So when you're praying to your Father, you must be in the secret place. That's how you connect with your Father. And it says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So he's talking about prayer. And it says, when you pray, make sure that you are in the secret place where your Father is. Your Father wants to meet you. The first place God wants to meet us is in the secret. He wants to deal with us in the secret before he deals with us in public. So our secret life or our secret dealings with God will determine our public manifestations. The church in Sweden is in need of the demonstration of power. The church in Sweden is in need of the demonstration of power. But the demonstration of power, the manifestations of God, will not happen until we have an experience that is not in the public, but in the secret. Your life with God, my life with God. God wants to deal with us. God wants to meet with us. God wants us to have intimacy with Him in the secret. That is the place where we come from to manifest the power of God, the manifestation of the Spirit in public. That's why He says He will reward you publicly. So you wait on Him, you minister to Him in the secret. But when He's rewarding you, when He's rewarding us, it has to be public. That is what people see when lame people begin to walk, when the blind begin to see. When people get saved, when people are baptized, the manifestation of the Spirit. The miracles that we are looking for, the power of God that we desire to see is manufactured in the secret. The Bible says, you shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. But before you lay your hands, you must have a life with God secretly. Let me give you an example. You remember in 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat got news that a great multitude, a great army was coming to destroy his kingdom. And the Bible says he feared, he was scared, because he knew how powerful these guys were. He knew what they were able to do to him and the kingdom. And so he was afraid, the Bible says. He was so scared. Now, it's a long story, but to cut it short, he was instructed by the Spirit to bring worshipers, and they begin to sing songs on the front line. So Jehoshaphat and the whole kingdom, all the fighters, were behind the singers, worship leaders. So they began to sing a song. They were singing and singing and singing, going to attack the army that was coming against them. And so they are singing and singing and singing and singing. In the realm of the physical, it looks stupid. These guys have weapons. They are coming to destroy you, and they are powerful. But you're just singing. It wasn't just a song. It was a song being sung by warriors on the inside. That song they were singing was coming from somewhere, very deep. Because how can the song, because the Bible says when they reached there, all these enemies had turned against themselves. They had killed each other. It was so powerful. It was a demonstration. It was a manifestation of something supernatural. Something powerful. Something that is not of this world. How can just music, playing a guitar, playing drums and singing in the microphone, kill enemies? It was more than the song they were singing. It was something that was supernatural. The song was sung by people that had an experience, people that had a testimony with God on the inside. And so when they reached there, all these enemies were dead just by singing, praising. But my point is, it wasn't just a song. Something was inside of them, bubbling inside of them. And as they sang, something was coming out into the atmosphere, and the enemy felt it. Now that's the victory the church needs. But we must cultivate. We must dig some wells. So when you lay your hands on the sick, they recover. But it's not just your hand. It is something that is coming out of you. But that thing that we are looking for, that thing that we want to see, is created in the secret place. In the secret place. He says, when you come where I live and live with me, I'll come out with you. Does it make sense? You must enter into the chambers of God and live with me and have a life with me. And when you have a life with me, have intimacy with me, in the secret, behind doors, you and I will now come out in the public. God wants to reward his church. But we must go in a place where our hearts will meet with the heart of God in the secret place. And then God will now determine the manifestations that we'll see in the public place. Now, how do we dwell in the secret place? How do we dwell with God? By the word. Number one, it is by the word. Meditating on the word of God. Having scriptures circulating our hearts, planted like a seed inside of our hearts. The word. Number two, prayer. We have to come back to the life of prayer. The word and prayer helps us to dwell in that place. Meditation, prayer, and the word. Man will never experience the bearing of the supernatural fruit without the principle of the secret place. Your life with God. Secret place is your life with God. Your private life with God. Living that life constantly. You know, in the chambers of your heart, you have conversations continuously with God. That's meditation. In the chambers of your heart. So it's dangerous for you to walk around believing God without a seed inside of you. It's dangerous to walk around without something from God, without the word, without the seed in the chambers of your heart. The chambers of the heart must be full of the word. Meditating on the word. Having conversations with God. That's the secret place. The secret life that we need with God. So man, the church, will never experience the supernatural fruit without the principle of the secret place. Don't get too busy to have conversations with God. We need to constantly have those special conversations with God. And now I'm not talking about the 2 hours of prayer. We have to have prayer meetings. We must, you know, attend prayer meetings. We must pray with one another. But what about your private life? What do you do after the prayer meeting? What do you do after this service? Do you still dwell in the presence of God? Do you have your own life? Your own secret life that nobody knows? A place where you wait on God. I discovered some years ago that ministry is not what we actually call ministry. Ministry is when you serve God in the secret. You minister to God in the chambers of your heart. You minister to God in the tabernacle. But when you come out of that place, you begin to share your experiences with God, with people. So when you come out to preach, when you come out to lead worship, when you come out to evangelize, you are sharing your testimony with God. You're sharing your experiences with God. That's why Jesus says to the disciples, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses. You shall take my testimony after you have an experience with me. So I believe that the first thing we should pursue is personal encounters with God. Personal encounters with God. Personal. So that when we go out there, we share from the overflow of what God has given us. The Bible says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of what you carry on the inside of you, out of your spirit, will flow life, will flow miracles, will flow signs and wonders. It is what you carry on the inside of you. So I believe that the first thing we should pursue is being filled. Make sure your belly is not empty. Make sure your spirit is full, so that you can release the rivers of living water. John 15, verse 4 and verse 5. John 15, verse 4 and verse 5. Abide in me. Abide in me. And I in you. Abide in me. And I in you. You see, the word abide is the word stay. Is the word dwell. You live somewhere. You dwell somewhere. You can't dwell in two places. You don't have two homes. You have one home. So you dwell in one place. So he says, I want to be the place you dwell. And you must be the place I dwell. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now you see, you cannot bear fruit without the life in the secret place with God. And verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And the fruit he's talking about in John 15 is not the same fruit he talks about in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, he's talking about moral fruit. But in John 15, he's talking about the supernatural fruit. The supernatural fruit. And as a church, it's good to have moral fruit. We have focused so much on the moral fruit, but we haven't really focused so much on the supernatural fruit. We are supernatural beings. The church has to be supernatural. So he says, you cannot bear fruit if you don't abide in me and if I don't abide in you. Supernatural fruit. We need to see the power of God. But before we pursue power, we need to pursue relationship. The relationship we have with God, the time we spend with him, the time we live with him, those special conversations that we have, our life with God, knitted together, so that our bellies can be filled, so that we can flow rivers of living water. That should be the hunger for the church. That should be the hunger for the church. And I can testify of this in Asia. Asian countries and African countries, the hunger people have. The hunger people have. A nation like Uganda, where I come from, it has experienced revival for the last 50 years. 50 years. Since revival came, it never stopped. But what has kept this in Uganda? You know, you find churches filled with people every week. Every week. You know, you find one church with 7,000 people, and you travel 25 minutes, you find another one sitting 10,000 people in the same area. It's the hunger that people have. Travel hours and hours to come and seek the Lord. They are so hungry. They are so hungry. They know the value of personal encounters. The value of personal encounters. The value of a secret life with God. Everything flows from there. Everything flows from there. And so God is calling our nation, Sweden, to come back to the place. To the place where we reverence God. To the place where we dwell with God. To the place where we have a single vision, focusing on Jesus and his presence. Where we have no distractions. Where we don't have other desires, but we desire to know God. That is how we're going to bear fruit. And the Bible encourages us to know God. Those who know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Those who know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The word there, know, is the same word you see in Genesis, where he says, and Adam knew his wife and conceived. So God is looking for a place where we can have intimacy with him, so that we can bear fruit, so we can carry visions and dreams that will change our land. But without intimacy with him, we can't have the dreams and the visions that are necessary to change the land. We must carry dreams. We must carry visions that are necessary to change our families, our cities, our churches, and our nation. But that comes from individual encounters. And then we come in a public meeting like this. You know, this is where you see people coming in and they're like tongues of fire. Because they've been in a place where something has been happening individually. So my point is this, that as a church, as individuals, let's go back to that place and build a relationship with God. So that when we come together, we are people that are rooted in the presence. There is already power inside of us. It's bubbling inside of us. It is fire inside of us. And so fire meets fire. Yes. Joy meets joy. Yes. Power meets power. We're going to have an explosion in the church. That's what we need. Amen. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! That is what we need. Imagine. Imagine all of us entering this place and we are full. Yeah. And we are full. Everyone has a testimony, a personal testimony. Everyone has a dream. Everyone has a vision from God. And we all come here. It's going to be an explosion. Yeah. Praise God. Oh man, I'm hungry for that. Yeah. I'm hungry for that. And we see that in the early church when they came with songs. They were singing songs, singing hymns. Those were testimonies. I believe they were singing hymns in their homes, and they came to church and everyone heard a hymn. I got a song, I got a song, I got a testimony. You know, that's what we need to see in the church. But it begins with personal encounters with the Holy Ghost in your closet, in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Are we together? Yes. Let me read you another one in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to verse 15. Shirobo satakaya. Hallelujah. Verse 13 says, "And he goeth up into a mountain." So Jesus goes up in the mountain. You remember, every time Jesus went in the mountain, it was a time of separation. It was a time of separation. And it shows us an example. There are moments in the Bible where you see Jesus, you know, after ministering to so many people, big crusade, after ministering to them and praying for the sick and many, many testimonies, the Bible says, and he disappeared. And he went in the mountains to pray. He went back to the secret place. So when the Bible talks about Jesus going to the mountain, he's talking about separation. So he says here, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him," verse 14, "and he ordained 12, he chose 12, ordained 12, that they should be with him." So he ordained them to be with him at his feet. Yeah, he calls them to himself, firstly, to dwell with him, to come at his feet and worship and serve him, that he should be with, that they should be with him. So he ordained them to be with him. Your first calling, my first calling, is to serve God in the secret place. Everyone is called to this life. Yeah? Yeah? All of us are called to this life with him. But most of us want to respond to our public calling, serving in the public, but we neglect our first calling. Our first calling is to minister to God in the secret place, your life with God. That's your first calling. So we all have to respond to this call. To this call. We need to surrender to this call. We need to yield to this call. Our private life with God. Your prayer life. Your worship life. Your prayer life. Your worship life. As a person in your closet. Your private life. No one should know. No one should know. Just keep your life with God. But he says he will take you out and reward you publicly. That's when miracles begin to happen. Power, the manifestations of God around your life. So he continues to say, "And that he might send them forth to preach." He called them, ordained them to be with him, that they should be with him. And then that he should send them to do what? To preach. Verse 14, 15 says, "To have power to heal the sick and to cast out devils." There are three things he's talking about here. To preach, to heal the sick, and cast out devils. Now, preaching having power to heal sickness and to cast out devils are a byproduct of your life with God. These things that he's talking about, preaching, healing the sick, casting out devils, these are byproducts of your life with God, seeking God. And we don't seek God because he's not available or he's far away. Or no, we are seeking the one that is in us. It's you're seeking that place, you're seeking that relationship, that intimacy with him. You want to feel the heartbeat of God concerning you and concerning the people, concerning the church, concerning the city. So when you come out, you are a powerful representative of the things you know. So when you talk about healing, you know. When you talk about power, you know, because you are a perfect representative of the things you know. So we need to have experience. We need to know God intimately so that we represent the things we know, the things we experienced. Not just talking about it, but when you begin to talk about it, it's like a river out of you flowing. It changes lives of people. Hallelujah. Changes lives of people. That is what is going to change our churches and our cities and our nation. Going back to our knees to pray. Yes. Going back to our knees to pray. We love fika and conversations and fellowship, which is very good. We are good at fellowship, you know, with each other. You know, we have fika, we have bulla, we have everything in the church, which is very good. But we also need to go to the other place and have a special fika with God. Special fika with God. Conversations with God. We need that. Praise God. Because our culture in Sweden is around that. It's around that. You know, there's no prayer meeting without fika, which is very good. That's the first word you know when you come to Sweden. Fika, fika, fika. Fika. So they teach you fika, which is very good. We need it in church. We see that in the Old Testament, in the early church, they did that house to house, breaking bread and eating and fellowshipping, which is good. But we must also go back to the other place and have that special time with God as individuals. That's our first calling. And I pray today that the hunger for this will increase in us. The Bible says, open your mouth and I'll fill you. Open your mouth. The Bible says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill you. In other words, open the chambers of your heart. Show me the hunger you have for me and I'm gonna fill you. So I pray that even today as we close this service, we walk out not the same way we came. We want to pursue a relationship that's going to change our lives. We're going to pursue a relationship that will change our language. We'll pursue a relationship that will change our families. Pursue a relationship that will change our streets. We'll pursue a relationship that will make us different. And will give us something that people are looking for, that people can chase after. When they look at you, they see a different man. They see a different woman. And they can testify that your life is changed. Because you cannot go to that place and stay the same. You can't go to that place and come out heavy. There's some joy around you that will come. Hallelujah. Even if you don't know how to dance, you're going to dance. You're going to praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy doesn't just come. It comes from a place where you know that even though things are not looking good around me, he is the King of Kings. Even though I feel pain in my body, by his stripes I was healed. So that joy that is your strength comes after knowing who God is. That place with God. And no one can deceive you. Because you know. No situation, no wave, no wind can blow you. Because you know. You know. That's why the Bible says, let the sick say, I am healed. It is not just a confession. No. It's not just a confession. It is knowledge. Because I know. Somehow I know. My body is sick, but there's something else that I know. Because I have a relationship with God. Let the poor say, I'm rich. It's not just a confession. It is an experience that is beyond the things we can explain. He talks about the peace that passes human understanding. Peace. Peace that goes beyond human language. Peace that goes beyond human explanation. It is an experience. I can't use Swedish, I can't use English to explain that peace. Because that peace, you receive it from a place that English can't explain. That peace is talking about, you get it from a place that Swedish can't explain. No language can explain that peace. That's why he says, it goes beyond. Hallelujah. It goes beyond human understanding. You can't explain it. So that's why it is experiential. So the gospel is not by words. The gospel is by experience. That's why Paul says, I didn't come to you with enticing words, but I came to you with a demonstration of power. Experience. Words can't explain these things. So the only thing we can do with words is invitation, inviting. So we convince people and inviting them, come and see, come and see. You remember Philip, he meets Nathanael. He's sitting under a tree and he says, come and see the man that the prophets talked about. He's from Nazareth. And he says, can anything good come from that place? Philip says, you know what? I cannot explain. But come. Yes. Come and see. Come and see. It is something that you have to experience yourself. I cannot help you. But we invite you. I say, you know what? Seek the Lord. Yeah, find that place for yourself. And so Philip brings his friend. And when he came to Jesus, he says, oh, you are the Son of God. Someone has to experience it. So when we preach the gospel, as we give testimonies, we are inviting people to come and experience by themselves. Everyone say experience. That is what we need to seek. Personal. There are so many things people ask me, I can't explain them. I have no language, but I know them. I have experienced them, but I can't explain them to you because I have no language to experience my encounters with God. Jesus came and I had an encounter with him. My first encounter with Jesus, I was seven years old. Seven. And when I came out of that encounter, I tried to explain using my language. But up to now, I cannot explain it. I was seven. I failed to explain it. At 15, I failed. At 30, I failed. And I'm still failing. Why? Because it is an experience that is beyond human explanation. But you can experience it. Come on. So it's experience, which comes from the place that we need to pursue. Hallelujah. Yes. Can we stand? This is what is going to bring revival. Yeah. In Sweden. When people come back to that place. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and say, Father, I need you. And I know you've been waiting for me. And today, I want to yield my heart. I want to surrender. Now let's do this. If you're here today and you're tired of a normal life, a life of everybody, you want to be drawn in a place that will help you to experience the things that our forefathers have experienced with God. I don't know if this place is enough, but I believe in coming at the altar. Walk and come. Yes, walk and come. Yes, just come. Just come and stand here. Just come. You want to be drawn in that place. It is not by power, it's not by might. You don't take yourself there, you are drawn. Just come at the altar. You can kneel down. You can stand. And this is a personal prayer. Begin to pray right now and say, Lord, I need this. I need this.
Tack för att du har varit med oss. Hoppas du känner dig inspirerad av Guds ord och har fått nya perspektiv. Hör gärna av dig till oss och berätta om Gud har rört vid dig på något sätt. Vi är så glada att få höra vittnesbörd om vad Gud gör. Du kan mejla oss på adressen info@linneahuset.se och dit kan du även mejla om du har ett böneämne som du önskar att vi ber för. Eller om du har tagit emot Jesus och inte har någon bibel så vill vi mer än gärna skicka en bibel till dig. Skicka ett mejl med ditt namn och dina adressuppgifter till info@linneahuset.se så ser vi till att du får en. Om du vill ge en gåva till Linneakyrkans arbete för att nå fler människor med evangelium så kan du swisha till 123-520-0993. Du kan också besöka oss på linneakyrkan.se för att få mer information. Välkommen tillbaka att lyssna snart igen.